Hallelujah. You may be seated. God bless you. Thank you so much. Tonight, it's another special night in God's presence. And we trust that the Lord will bring us a visitation, mighty visitation, that will create a transformation and also create a change. Transformation within and a change without. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we bless you. We honor you. We love you. Take all the glory, Lord. Even tonight, Father, do for us and with us what only you can do. Lives will be changed. Testimonies will abound. And territories will be taken. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. If you can't be seated, just allow them under the atmosphere. At any point, God is done with them, they can return. Meanwhile, as I'm talking, some of you will be having impartations and encounters. And so please refuse to be distracted. We are listening and receiving at different depths. The comprehension is actually at different depths. So, whichever way a man receives, you just focus for your own word and refuse to be distracted. We began a series 2 Sundays ago. And the reason we are taking this route is because God is more interested in making you than in giving you. Whatever you are giving, you can lose. But whatever you become, you can replicate again and again. And so even though God, on the strength of his fatherhood, is predisposed to continuously give to us, he is more interested in making us. The first martyrs that encountered Jesus never received from him. He said, "Follow me, I will make you fishers of men." The ones he make sustain the capacity to do what only him can do. But the ones to whom he gave, they came again and again and again to receive. In fact, Jesus multiplied bread and gave to people. And the next day they were looking for him. And Jesus himself testified. He said, "You are not looking for me because you desire me." He said, "You are looking for me because I gave you bread yesterday." So the man who comes to receive will always come again for more. But the man who becomes receives the capacity to replicate that which is given, because he becomes an extension of the dominion of God to a generation and to a territory. And so part of the series we are looking at is to help us come to that point where we become men that can bear the witness of God to our generation and to our territories. And there are 2 series we're looking at simultaneously. The first series we're looking at is the series of the I Am. Because we said the only way you can become in this kingdom is when you go through the process of spiritual metamorphosis. And metamorphosis in the kingdom is achieved only by beholding him. It said we all with open faces. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Beholding as in a glass the image of the Lord, we are changed. I said there are many things you want to do now, but this expression of you cannot do it. Most of you have desires to bring God to a generation. Most of you have desires to reach the needs of people on behalf of God. But this, your dimension, cannot achieve that. No matter the decisions and resolutions you make, it can happen. Because until you are metamorphosed, those dimensions can never find expression. And I gave us an instance of a butterfly. At the state of an egg, no matter what the egg does, it can never fly. Because flying is not a possibility for an egg. But when that butterfly undergoes metamorphosis, naturally wings will appear. And when the wings appear, the butterfly doesn't need to pray to fly. Because it has attained a maturity level where flying becomes a natural byproduct of that realm. And so we want to look at how men can journey with God through metamorphosis. And we said the only way we can achieve it is by looking at the portrait of the Christ. And Christ himself revealed that he is the I Am. And we said when we are studying the I Am, there are 7 tributaries we will look at. And we began looking at it one after the other. Please help the brother. One after the other, we started looking at those dimensions. And while we were looking at those dimensions, on Sundays, we were looking at another route entirely. And we call them peace, be still. Pastor Victor, attend to that brother. Just help calm him down. We said there were 7 classes we began to look at in the school of process. Because we said no man appears in this kingdom. Every man you see doing something worthwhile for God went through a process. And so I began to open those classes to us. And that's the class we're actually trying to round up tonight. I said there were 7 classes in the school of process that every believer who will have capacity to advance God's kingdom must go through. There is no boycotting classes in this kingdom. No matter what a man attempts to do, if he fails any class in his manifestation, you can trace it if you have spiritual understanding. You can see a man raising the dead. And so much is happening. But when you look at that man, the lack of character in his manifestation will reveal to you that he has violated some classes in the school of process. And you can see a man with all the character required, but there will be a deficiency in power and in manifestation. Even though his character is correct, the deficiency of power is also a revelation that he violated certain classes in the school of process. So for a man to become a perfect and complete minister, there is a route he must follow. You know, the Bible said the scriptures were given to reprove, to correct, to instruct in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good works. In order for God to thoroughly furnish a man, he carries him through a school. That school is called the school of process. And I said the first class everybody goes through in the school of process is the class of encounters. Samuel was dedicated to God. He lived all his life in the temple, but it doesn't mean he will amount to anything. Sleeping on the altar does not make you a servant of God. Encounters are the beginning of our journey with God. Even though Samuel, upon his winning, was brought to the temple, dropped at the altar. In fact, in 1 Samuel chapter 3, the Bible said, when the ewy lamp were gone off, Daniel was still in the temple. But his stay in the temple did not change his story. What changed Samuel's story was the encounter he had with God. And in 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 4, the Bible said, the voice of God came calling him, Samuel. And he said, here I am, Lord. In 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 21, the Bible said, the Lord appeared again to Samuel in Shiloh. The Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And if you study 1 Samuel 3:20, it said Samuel was established as a prophet and all of Israel could bear proof to it. What established Samuel as a prophet? It was the encounters that he had with God. I told us how that Moses had so much body to deliver Israel. In fact, he went on an attempt of those bodies to begin to kill the Egyptians. But when the vengeance of Pharaoh manifested, he ran for his life. The ambition, the burden he had was not enough to advance kingdom. Because when you begin, you will discover that there are dark principalities that carry wickedness as a weapon. You know, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness. If you don't have an encounter to fortify you, when spiritual wickedness show up, if you don't run, you will die. So Moses ran for his life. Until while he was keeping his father's in-laws sheep, the Bible said he went to the backside of the wilderness, even unto Horeb, the mountain of God. He said, there he saw a bush burning that was not consumed. And God showed up and said, Moses, Moses. When he's torn, he said, take off thy shoes. Where you are standing is holy ground. The same Egypt Moses ran from, he came back with a staff. But this time around, the staff he took to the wilderness was not the staff he brought back. The staff he took to the wilderness was the staff of Moses. But the one he came back to Egypt with was called the rod of God. What changed that staff to a rod of God is the encounter he had. So I say when a man has an encounter, 3 things happen to him. Number one, the specificities of his destiny are revealed to him. You cannot know the specifics of your destiny until an encounter reveals it to you. The reason is because you will find yourself in a territory and there are many teachers. And to make things worse, most of your teachers are invincible beings. You will not know who teaches you that it is good to have immorality. You will never hear anybody tell you that immorality is pleasurable. But there are invincible teachers that can manipulate your emotion. They are territorial teachers that the moment you enter a territory, they begin to alter the energy balance of your soul. And you can come to a place all of a sudden you start feeling as if you want to do something you have never done before. The reason is because there are many teachers walking on the face of the earth. And those teachers will teach you many things that is not part of the blueprint of your destiny. And in order to go past the veil of darkness and receive instruction from the teacher who was in the studio of eternity when you were formed, you need an encounter. That's why I said to Jeremiah, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you.
I know your father is a priest, but captured in the lexicon of your destiny, priesthood was not a part of it. The ordination that I gave you from the studio of eternity is the ordination of a prophet. So even though priesthood is good, that is not your line. He took an encounter for his destiny to be reordered. And when he came back, he didn't come back as a priest after the order of Aaron. He came back as a prophet of God with the power to uproot and to plant. All of those dimensions were part of his destiny. But it took an encounter for him to see. The reason we compete with ourselves is because encounters are limited. So when I come to a meeting and JT is prophesying, I now start feeling bad. If I have an encounter, I will be contempt with the sphere of my destiny. The reason we put ourselves under pressure and anxiety is because there are no encounters. So when a brother sings and people start falling down, the next brother who should just sing and exhort people start feeling insecure. If it is not part of your destiny and you have seen it from heaven, no matter what men do, you will not be moved. That's why I respect men like Billy Graham. I respect men like Billy Akani. They will sit on the scripture and only teach people to maturity. You will never hear a testimony of miracles. And I'm not saying miracles are bad. If you can, strive to wield those powers. But if it is not your destiny, don't put yourself under pressure. Billy Akani can teach you in 2 weeks and nobody is praying for the sick. But when you leave that place, sickness will leave you naturally. Because the level of revelation you will enter, you will know that it's impossible to be sick. Because you will discover dimensions that are wired into your being that makes it impossible for you to be sick. They are never insecure. Do you know that God does not need any particular gift to make you a star to your generation? It is the hand of God that lifts men, not the manifestation that you have. Because Billy Graham, without miracles, in his last crusade, 13 stadia were packed. A man who was just preaching John 3:16, stadium upon stadium were packed out. How did he wield so much power? Encounters revealed to him the bearing of his destiny, and he followed it. And I said, when you are done with the class of encounters, God brings you to the class of instruction. It's in the class of instruction that God will teach you the ways of his spirit. Because while encounters will show you the blueprint of your destiny and empower you for your destiny, you can still move in error. God will have to come either by himself or by the instrumentality of men that he will send into your destiny to teach you what to do. Even though the voice of God was cast and only Samuel could hear God, Samuel still had to remain under Eli to be taught the ways of God. Many times, people have encounters and they take off. And on the strength of those encounters, they go into the world. And even though they make little impact, they create a harvest for the devil. Because you will discover that they are not instructed in the ways of God. And the little manifestation they have is what the devil will use to bargain a chance in order to have a stake in that harvest. So after an encounter, there is an instruction. And after the class of instruction, God will take you to the class of service. It's in the class of service that your heart will be textured. Because you can come into a system, and even though you are the best singer, they will never bring you on the platform for 10 years. In the choir rehearsal, you are worshiping, people are falling down. But when they come for the main service, nobody ever gives you the microphone. If you think it's a show, you will get angry and go. Because what you are looking for is platform, not to bless the people of God. And when you leave, your destiny will be stunted. But when you have an encounter, when you are instructed, and when you give yourself to service, in the place of service, God will have the opportunity to check your heart. He will texture it and find out your true conviction. Because when all of us are on the altar, we claim that we are dead men. When all of us are on the altar, we claim it's all about Jesus. But when service begins, God will find out those who truly came for him. And that's why it's in the class of service that God gives reward. He said, I, the Lord, I test the heart. I try the reins to give unto every man as his way should be. A man who does not serve will never have an inheritance in this kingdom. Elisha served Elijah. Joshua served Moses. Everybody who makes genuine impact in a generation must have a record of who he served. Nobody appears. Everybody follow the process. And when you are done with the class of service, God will bring you to the class of self-denial. Because when you start serving naturally, there are some benefits that we find expression. In order to save you and to make you go far, God will teach you self-denial. I told you when I was teaching 2 weeks ago, for 1 year after doors started opening for me, to me, God didn't let me take one of the honorarium. Every honorarium given to me, I gathered all of them in bunch, and I handed it over to my father and the Lord. Does it mean there's a doctrine that you shouldn't take your honorarium? No. He checked my heart and he knows that there is a love of money there. That if it's not textured now, a time will come, my ministry will become money. And I can tell you that up to today, I'm still going through that class. Because 4 days ago, somebody called me to dedicate his office. He works with CBN. He's a big man. And when I came to dedicate the office, I just prayed for them the normal prayer you will pray. Before I knew what was happening, the wife ran into a drawer. And as I suspected what they wanted to do, I said, no, no. But my no came late. The next thing I saw was 1,000 naira bills. And it was heaped. And if you have handled money, you can tell when you see the size. It was in 6 digits. I've said no already. And when I looked at the money, I said no. They insisted and knelt down. But God said, don't take it. Why? Till now, I don't know. But they said what? No. Because in the class of self-denial, God will check your heart. Why did you go to pray for the office? Is it because you want to get money, or is it because you were moved to bless them? The purity of your service will only be verified in self-denial. A man who doesn't go through the class of self-denial, watch him. Not too long, he will bargain the weight of his destiny for money. He will bargain the weight of his destiny for pleasure. And you can see that man burning with fire. After 3 years, you will come. The same man will talk and you'll be sleeping. And you are wondering what happened. The sting that was in that message is not about the intelligence of the message. The sting that is in that message is a testimony of the weight of his consecration. And if he doesn't go through self-denial long enough, he can't preserve the weight of that consecration. The devil will bargain it. And when the devil bargains it, he will become a star and a caricature on the altar. But the weight and witness that he should bring to his generation will not be there. So many times, God will insist that you go through the class of self-denial. And when you go through the class of self-denial, he won't stop. He will still allow you to go through the class of warfare. Why the class of self-denial is a class of sacrifice? The class of warfare is where your faith is proven. God wants to know what you really trust in. And I was showing you different dimensions of warfare. I said there are certain warfare that are environment engineered. You didn't do anything wrong. You are just in an environment. Because the battle of princes will impact an environment. For example, I said if you are on earth, you are already in the midst of war. If you don't have discernment, you are finished. Because he said, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. The great deceiver has come. So anybody on earth who doesn't have discernment is already a victim. Because there's a prince that fought in heaven and he was defeated and cast to the earth. So anybody he meets on earth is a victim. That's why he talked about the evil day. Because the devil, the Bible says, is prowling like a roaring lion, looking for whom he will devour. So if you're on earth, you are in the battleground. Whether you are a baby or an adult, it doesn't matter. Jesus was 8 days old when Herod released vengeance. Every child below the age of 2 was slaughtered. Why? They were in an environment. If you were not in that environment, fine. But so long as you are in that environment, you are a victim of the intersection and the engagement of princes in that territory. So warfare doesn't necessarily need to invite you. If you are there, you are part of it. And so God will allow you to go through the class of warfare so that the testimony of your faith can be proven. You will show that it is God you trust, not your connection with man. Because some warfare will come and disconnect you with everybody that you ever trusted. It is on the strength of that warfare that you go back to your altar and say, God, you are my Ebenezer. You may not know the meaning of Ebenezer. Even when you read it in the Bible, you will quote it and use it to sing a song. It is the day when every help departs from you that you will find out, what does Ebenezer need? It is warfare that brings you that intrinsic and experiential training. No man can win territories in this kingdom unless he fights. Because when you say, thy kingdom come, you declared war. When you say, thy kingdom come, you invited princes to your territory. You want to uproot what was and you want to establish what should come. You cannot do it just by talking. You will now realize that destiny is not a story. Destiny is not fun. Destiny is battle. And when a man goes through the class of warfare, that man has come to the level where God can begin to entrust him. It is in the class of entrustment that we call grace. Because when you come to the class of grace, things begin to happen on their own accord. And it's the glass of grace I want to talk about this evening. You know, I have to do a summary. Because when I start talking about grace, some people will start jumping and claiming and receiving. You don't begin from grace. And I will show you. Before a man comes to a point where he commands things and they happen, go and find out. The tree you are seeing, that's not all its height. There is a dimension of that tree that went down first before the up one began to go up. If there's no root, there can be no branches. So you don't jump into the class of grace. Let's calm down. Let me read some scriptures. Some people are transfixed. They're just looking at me. Where is it? Let me read some scriptures. Ha 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 ha. Ha ha hey. Hey, ha. Ha ha ha. Of Christianity, and a lot of people want to manifest grace, and it's good. So let me talk about it. When you come to the class of grace, there are four things God wants to teach you. Number one, He will teach you experientially what grace is about. The one you read in the textbook, if you enter the battle arena, you discover those ones are theories. God will teach you experientially what grace is. The second thing He will do is that He will teach you how grace works. Because as we begin to move, you are going to discover the protocol of grace for your life is different from mine. All of us read in Bible, in the scripture, that we have all received abundance of grace. But for your own grace to work, you may need to worship God. For my own grace to work, I may need to speak in tongues for 5 hours. For somebody else's grace to work, he may need to give to the poor. For somebody else's grace to work, he may need to pray all night. All those ones are not in the textbook. It's as you walk on the street, you will discover that the time you worshipped, that was when the grace of God on your life began to flow. Another person will discover is when he prays in tongues for long that the grace will flow. God will teach you how grace works. And if God teaches you how grace works, for the rest of your life, you will live like that. That's why the path of a spiritual man is narrow. It's not narrow because he wants to be scarce. It's narrow because he's following the rhythm of grace. There are certain people that if they talk too much, they diffuse energy from their spirit. So what they will need to do is to stay alone. They will live a life of solitude. It's not because they enjoy it. They are trying to gather the energy in their spirit. Because you may talk, and the more you talk, your grace will flow. Somebody else, if he talks, he becomes light. That person may not go out. You will look at him and say, you are proud. That's your business. He is a spiritual man. The path of a spiritual man is a narrow path. He is trying to keep and guard something that he's pregnant with. You may not realize it, but God has taught him something. So what God will do in the school of grace, he will teach you how the grace of God on your life works. And then number three, God will use grace to check your priorities. Because all of us can be praying and say, we love Jesus, we love Jesus. Wait until we all begin to raise the dead. All of us can be praying and say, Kai, prayer is how we breathe. We breathe when we pray. And then when we are praying, we are doing like this. Wait until our accounts begin to credit 100 million. The person that is doing, he will come to pray and say, Parasco fer eno, liga ba kesodia, kalakido berakina and the gruze vele istis, sobra hakido baragata, lalaile vene. And then he will look at you and say, come, this prayer, you people are praying like this. This life is not so hard. So, God, when God wants to check your priority, he will give you grace. You want you that used to go out for evangelism to talk to 5 people, you will need to pray for 3 hours. Now, when you see somebody, you see the person's name on his head. You called it once, called it twice, called it thrice. Every time it was accurate. The next time you won't go out again until you wear a suit. And when you are going out, that 3 hours prayer will become so long. When you are betting, you just say, Father, we love you so much. Thank you for all you are doing for us. You know we are yours. You know we are yours. It's when grace is at work that God can find out your conviction. So in the school of grace, God will use it to check your conviction. And that's why the fourth thing God does in the school of grace is that grace is the only basis for your reward. Because anything you do outside of grace can't pass the test of the immortals. They will weigh it on the scales of balances. If you do it from your intelligence, it will fail. If you do it from human support, it will fail. Only by grace. And so Hebrews 12:28 said, we, having received the kingdom that cannot be moved, let us receive grace whereby we can serve God acceptably. So acceptable service is only on the premise of grace. So one, God will teach you what grace is experientially. Number two, God will teach you how to make the grace on your life work. Number three, he will use grace to test your priorities. And number four, he will use grace as the basis for your reward. But before I journey, because, you know, before when I teach, people enjoy it. But now, there are many theologians that want to check whether you dotted your I's or whether you crossed your T's. So, when you are teaching, they are waiting. This thing he said is not scriptural. Let me answer some theologians before I go forward. Let me answer some theologians. I'm not saying you don't have grace. I'm actually saying you already have the abundance of grace. John chapter 1 verse 16. I want to show you something before I begin my journey. Because if I begin to teach, there will be too many questions. And I don't want somebody to hang on comment box and distract 1,000 people who want to grow. Because sometimes a message is going on, people are being blessed. And then somebody will come and pitch his tent like a gazelle. He will hang on comment like this. He doesn't have a church. He's not doing any street evangelism that anybody know of. He's not discipling anybody anywhere. His job is to come on comment box and hang like this. And then he will bring out concordance. And he will write a textbook correcting one statement you made in a 2 hours, 30 minutes message. So much knowledge but no impact. And then when you start talking, they will bring all the different types of theology. So I'm not saying you don't have grace. I'm not saying any of us lack grace. In John 1:16, the Bible said, of his fullness have we all received grace heaped upon grace. Grace what? Heaped upon grace. So you have more than enough grace. Every one of us here have more than enough grace now already. The argument is not whether you have grace or not. In fact, in Romans 5:17, the Bible said, if by one man death reign, he said, how much more they that receive what? Abundance of grace. So all of us have what? An abundance of grace. But there's a way the spirit realm works. It's not enough that you have. It's not enough. In Romans chapter 8 verse 9, the Bible said, you are in the spirit if you have the Holy Ghost. So every one of us have what? Who has the Holy Ghost is in the spirit. But in Galatians 5:25, it said, if you live in the spirit, then walk in the spirit. So it's one thing to be in the spirit. It's another thing to what? Walk in the spirit. It's one thing to have grace. It's another thing to what? To walk in grace. So in the school or in the class of grace, God is not bringing you more grace, but he's teaching you how to walk in grace. Because it's possible for you to have grace and number one, to have it in vain. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 1 and 2, it said, I have not received the grace of God in vain. So it's possible that you have grace and it's what? It's in vain. Do you know what makes the grace of God on your life in vain? It's in verse 2 of that scripture. Verse 2. It said, if you procrastinate on what should be done now, it said the grace of God on your life is in vain. So many times God tells you to do something. You now check yourself and you discover, I need support to do it. The grace of God is in vain. If God said do something now, you say you will do it tomorrow. The grace of God is in vain. So a man can have grace and not walk in grace. You know why? It's in verse 2. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2. It said, now is the time of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. If you don't do what God says to do because you thought that you didn't have what it takes to do it, you have received the grace of God in vain. That's one. Number two, you can frustrate the grace of God. You see why God will teach you experientially what grace is and how to walk in it. Because it's not enough to know theologically that you have grace. You have to walk with grace so that it's not in vain. Number two, you have to carry grace so that it's not frustrated. In Galatians 2:21, Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God that is in me. That means some people who are going through circumstances in life that makes it look as if God is dead, it's actually because they have frustrated the grace of God. Either because they frustrated the grace of God or because they have what? Received it in vain. How do you frustrate the grace of God? When you think it is your works that makes the difference. So there are many people today, they want to do something, they depend on their brain. I am experienced on this matter. I have been on this job for 30 years. You can be on that job for 100 years. The day you stop depending on the grace of God and depend on your competence, you have frustrated the grace of God. And you may be succeeding until the day the princes come. Remember, I told you about what? An evil day. You can carry out that project for 30 years successfully. The reason is because on the calendar of the principalities, your visitation has not come. The day your visitation is on their calendar, you will discover that competence is not enough. This is why most times Christians have crisis in life, because they have grace, but they put it aside and they are working on their experience. They have grace, they put it aside. They are working on their competence. The day a demon shows up, they now suddenly discover that their competence, their diligence, their experience is no longer a factor. So what do you do? In addition to your competence, in addition to your diligence, in addition to your mastery, every time you step out is by the grace of God. This project will be done, not because I'm a master, but because of the grace of God. This meeting will pull through, not because I've done it for 10 years, in addition to my experience, by the grace of God. So the way a man begins to walk in grace is when he refuses to frustrate the grace of God. And finally, which is the worst part, is that it's possible for you to fall from grace. Galatians chapter 5 verse 4. He said the grace of God has become of none effect. Galatians 5 verse 4. He said Christ has become of none effect. If we are justified, if we think we are justified by the law, he said we are falling from grace. Do you know that in our generation today, where we advocate consecration, where we advocate purity, where we advocate fasting, where we advocate prayer, is the reason why many people are falling from grace. Because when they come to God, they think it's because they went on 100 days fast. When they go out to do something for God, they think they are doing it because for the past 15 years, they've not touched the woman. When they step out for a miracle meeting and God heals the sick, they come back and say, before that meeting, I went on 7 hours of tonguing and I spoke only capital letter tongue. He said, if your works is what justified you, he said, you are falling from grace. And you will not know the implication of falling from grace until when you appear before the judgment seat. You can manage your way through life without grace, but when you want to cross the gate of heaven, it's only by grace that you will cross it. And so many people feel justified. Now, hear this. I'm a preacher of consecration. I'm a preacher of holiness. I'm a preacher of purity. In fact, one of my favorite scriptures is 1 Corinthians 9:27. Paul said, I beat my body. I bring it under subjection. But I'm also aware of 1 Corinthians 15:10. He said, I labor more than them all. Not I, but the grace of God that is in me. So I know the place of prayer. I know the place of fasting. I know the place of consecration. But I know all of that would not have been possible except as the grace of God is working in me. So believers must be taught what the grace of God is, so that number one, they don't receive the grace of God in vain. Number two, they don't frustrate the grace of God. And number three, they don't fall from grace. Number four is so that they don't turn the grace of God onto lasciviousness. Are you in the body of Christ currently? People say when they sin, nothing happens. They are already forgiven. They can do what they want. In fact, somebody wanted to give an instance and he said, even if I sleep with somebody now, I'm already forgiven. Your heart, your soul have been bastardized. Demons are playing football in your mind. Better, there's Olympics. Demonic Olympics is going on in your soul now. If you need retreat. Because that's the only example and illustration you can think of. It means there's a crisis. There is a terrible crisis ongoing in your mind. You shouldn't turn the grace of God to lasciviousness. Your forgiveness is not for you to continue sinning. Your forgiveness is a revelation that now sin has been defeated. So you should live above sin. But if you don't know the grace of God, you can turn it onto lasciviousness. This is why the class of grace is very important. So that you don't receive it in vain. So that you don't frustrate it. So that you don't fall from it. And so that you don't turn it to lasciviousness. Having explained this, let's enter into the business of grace. What is grace? Time is jumping. In simple terms, Grace is divinity expressed through humanity. Grace is God living out through human vessel. So when a man is walking in grace, he is actually believing why God is walking. A man who is walking in grace has one assignment. He is believing why God is walking. So you bring a contract worth 100 million. All he has in his account is 10,000, and he says it will be done. And then you are wondering, how will it be done? Is there a company that wants to bankroll it? Is there somebody you want to call? He says, no, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And then you say, no. This, wait, don't be religious with me. Don't get religious. He is actually not getting religious. He is learning how to spend from God's account. Oh, I was blessed by what he said. He said, God's account is the only account you make withdrawal from, and the balance remains the same. That's what grace is. God living out through human vessel. So you can come for a meeting. You don't feel the anointing. Your body is not on fire. But there's a cripple. God say, go and raise him. I've not fasted though. The last time I did retreat was 3 days ago. It doesn't encourage lasciviousness. But you are going to pray for the sick not because you are powerful. You are going to pray for the sick not because you are anointed. You are going to pray for the sick not because you saw a vision. You are going to pray for the sick because you are believing and God will be walking. So when you go there, God will walk while you believe. That's why the Bible said in Mark 16:20, it said they went out, the Lord walking with them, confirming the word with signs and wonders following. The day a man understands grace, he stops executing projects that are his size. When you see people doing things bigger than them, they understand grace. When you see a man doing things smaller than him, things he thinks is bigger than, he has not known the economy of grace. When you enter into the economy of grace, you may be 40 years old and no man have proposed to you in the last 10 years. And then you stand up all of a sudden, you just discover that by the grace of God, you can do all things. You tell yourself, this year I get married. And people will think you are getting mad. That was what God took 25 years to teach Abraham. He told Abraham, I will make you a father of many nations. And Abraham looked at himself, I am bad, I am impotent. My wife is barren. How can these things be? Like Mary, he said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. The power of the highest shall overshadow you. That thing that shall be formed in you shall be called the Son of the Highest. Many times we are defeated in life because we wage war in life with our strength. And so every step we take in life, we check ourselves out first. So when you see the man bold, it's because he feels okay. If he comes for a meeting and he doesn't see any witch here, he will begin to say, tonight God will heal the sick. But if he comes for a meeting and the first, you know, for we who go to the north, the ushers in the north need to be trained. When you come for a meeting in the north, the way ministers are sitting now, that's where they will put all the cripples. They will put them in front of you. As if that is not enough. When you minister and God begins to touch people, and there are a few testimonies and you want to go, they will now begin to bring them to meet you. Don't go here. There's somebody here. They will now push. No. I didn't say bring the cripple. I said bring those that God is already touching. Don't conflict sickness. Bring those that are already healed. They are bringing those who are still on the wheelchair. Do you want to choke the atmosphere of the meeting? If you don't know the grace of God, you can't go there. So grace is actually man believing why God is walking. So a man who walks in grace is a man who has tidied up his belief system. So no matter what happens, his confidence is in God. We have a generation of people that believe in many things apart from God. That's why we struggle. That's why we struggle in ministry. That's why we struggle in business. That's why we struggle in everything we do. Because we don't understand grace. God will enroll many people again in the school of grace. So that he will begin to teach them to look away unto God. They should look away from themselves. Look away from the connection. And look only unto God. And when they look unto God, they will marvel at what God will do in their lives. I know you are making some progress. And it's beautiful. Turn to the Lord and see the difference. You will marvel what God will do with you. Let me just give you 7 expressions of grace very quickly. Number 1. Grace is the power of God to bring to rest. So when you see somebody walking in rest, there's a grace at work in his life. I know the difference. At least in certain areas of my life. I know when, you know, I started wondering why when people grow older in ministry, they do less and they have more result. Whereas when people start out in ministry, they labor so much and the result is so small. And God told me the difference is rest. And the reason is because they have understood grace. You don't understand it. You know prayer. You know fasting, but you don't know grace. I say, how do you mean? He said, grace is the power that saves and brings men to rest. And he gave me a scripture, Jeremiah 31 verse 2. He said, they left Israel in the wilderness for the sword. That means everybody was left to be destroyed utterly. Every one of them. He said, thus saith the Lord, the people which were the sword found grace, which were left for the sword, found grace in the wilderness. Two things. Number one, they were left for destruction. Number two, they were in a place where they could never have rest. But he said what? They found grace. They found grace. And he said what grace did for them is that grace did not just deliver them. Grace brought them to rest. I know you are going through a situation now. You have tried everything. It looks as if it's not working. You are in your wilderness. And everybody that knows you have set you up. It looks as if any step you take brings condemnation and doom instead of progress. Hear me today. As you are listening to these words of grace, your wilderness will become a fruitful field. Your fruitful field will become a forest. Because it's not by power, it's not by might, it's by the Spirit of the living God. It doesn't matter where you are. If only you can depend on grace, he can change your story around. He said, when he led them through the wilderness, he said, they tested not. How can a man walk through the wilderness and not test? Tell somebody grace makes it happen. They tested not why he led them through the wilderness. He said, he cleaved the rock and the rock brought water. He gushed it out and the waters gave waters. The rock gushed out waters. There is nothing you are going through that is big. The problem is that you have not seen your grace. The day you see your grace, the wilderness will become a proper platform to manifest the glory of God. It's not on the altar here we manifest God. It's through the crisis of life. When a man goes through the shadow of how did Samuel put? Do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? It's in the shadow of death that you see the excellency of grace. That's why I said the light shines in the darkness. Grace is not you walking apart from problem. Grace is actually walking through problem and not noticing. That's why Jesus walked on water. Men don't walk on water. There was no boat anywhere. But the problem gives grace the opportunity to manifest the excellency of God. So as you leave this place today, that thing the devil has put on your face that have made you look as if your belief system is a lie. That thing the devil has used to challenge you for 10 years, for 15 years, that makes it look as if your God is weak. As you are going back today, that thing will become the platform upon which you will manifest the excellency of grace, because your wilderness is about to be turned to a fruitful field. You know, when we tell people these things, they think it's a joke. We were here two weeks ago on Monday. We were praying, and while we were just praying, we rounded up. And I just heard that two people will receive a car in 7 days. I mean, we were like 60. In 7 days. 60. So many people are young people. How will it happen? It's not one person. It's two. I announced one. Two received. Because when a man believes, God walks. When a man walks, God rests. And as you are leaving this place today, listen to me. That problem that has been a mountain, it's time for you to put it before you and say, who are you, O mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. Who are you, O mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. Because it's not by power. Too many Christians are trying to do it by power. So when you talk, they say you are proud because they weigh you. I say, what do you have that makes you talk like this? You can't see what I have. Because what I have is too big to carry. I have God. How can I bring God to the battle arena? He's too big. I will be undermining what I have to bring him there. So God will send me out for me to look vulnerable. Did you not read about the 10 spies? He said when they went into the city, the people were actually like grasshoppers. The men who gave the report didn't lie. The reason God was offended is because they were seeing themselves against the people. They were not seeing their God against the people. Meanwhile, David had taught us already. When he saw Goliath, Goliath was 9 feet tall. David was a boy. Goliath was a man of war from his youth. David was inexperienced. But when David showed up, he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defiled the armies of God?" Not of David. And the moment David began to believe, God didn't need a bow. God didn't need an arrow. The guy picked 5 stones in the same battlefield. And when he slung that stone, a 9 feet tall giant fell down. You want to see the excellency of God? Your job is belief. And when you believe, you will be amazed. Because grace is the power that delivers and brings to rest. I shared with them, okay, I was in Ghana. I preached here on a Tuesday. And I said, we don't fall sick. And I was talking with unapologetically. We don't fall sick. The moment I went home, I just stood to take water. And an arrow was shot to my back. My whole back froze. The pain was so paralytic that I couldn't turn. And instantly fear hit my heart. I almost said, "I'm finished." I almost said it. But see, I programmed my mind too much to say the wrong thing. Because in the battlefield, what you say is what determines your fate. I programmed too much. And the moment I felt the pain, I said, "No, we don't fall sick. No, we don't fall sick." I don't say I can't fall sick. If I say I can't fall sick, it means something may happen one day. But when I say we don't fall sick, it means it doesn't register with us. You won't say a man can't be pregnant. You actually say men don't get pregnant. There's no can or can't. They don't have womb. It's not possible. I said we don't fall sick. And the pain stood there, hoping for me to shift ground. The pain was there for 2 hours. And I wouldn't shift my ground. We don't fall sick. We don't know how to fall sick. We live above sickness. Pain, in the name of Jesus, you are gone. You are gone. You are gone. And after 2 hours, the same way it came instantaneously, it left instantaneously. That's how grace works. The crisis is not a crisis. It's only a crisis because you don't know grace. When you know how grace works, every challenge you are going through today, you will begin to imagine what your testimony will look like. I know I came for the fellowship. I didn't have transport fare. People had to partner for me to be transported. But wait for the next 2 months. Wait for the next 3 months. My car will be dedicated. My car. Because no, I'm not hoping that they will be partnering throughout the year for me to come for fellowship. I'm not in that class. Just wait. Our light affliction are but for a moment. They work for us an exceeding weight of glory. Why does that work? Why we look not at the things which are seen? I know today people pay for my transport, but watch, tomorrow I will buy a bus that will take people. And then you are wondering, how shall these things be? The Holy Ghost will come upon you. The power of the highest will overshadow you. That thing that will be formed in you will be called the Son of the Highest. I know you are talking on the street and people are making a mockery of you. Tell yourself, in this city, we will pack out that stadium. We will pack out. Where we are going to is the stadium. It's not just a small hall. It's the stadium. Because if Reinhard Bonnke did it, my life, this, I will not go to heaven. Even God knows I won't go until I do much more. Even Jehovah knows that this crazy man, this man here, if John Gillick removed cancer from people, even Jesus knows that I will not come to heaven. If I go there, they will send me back. Until we don't only pull cancer, we will kick it out of people. You don't know what grace men do. My job is to believe why God works. And so I will believe for anything. I will believe for a stadium. I will believe for the nations. I will believe for anything. Because my job is to believe God is the one working. I'm teaching you. This is what you will learn in the class of grace. And that's why God will make sure you pass self-denial before you come to the class of grace. That time God is telling you don't take money. He's trying to teach you that it's not that money you receive that makes your life. I was hustling to get a job. And God asked me, If I give you a job that pays 1 million, how long will you work? I say 35 years. And he said, what is the aggregated figure? Assuming you don't spend a dime in 35 years. I say 420 million. He said, can 420 million sponsor your destiny? I repented. Grace is what? The power that delivers. But the way it works is what? You believe why God works. The second expression of grace is that grace is the power that enthrones. God does not just want to bring you to rest. God wants to make you a ruler. Rest alone is not enough. As beautiful as it is, it's not enough. You are at rest. You don't need to raise an eyebrow for things to be done. It's not enough. They must call you a ruler in the sphere where God has put you. If you are in the business world, your name will become a household name. That is the blessing. It's not that my business is doing well. Your name, listen, the sons of the bondwoman understand this. They know this. They know it's not enough to serve you bags of cement every day. They know it's not enough that 1 million, 10 million, 100 million is coming in. They want to be a household name. Everybody knows them in that country. You won't believe I went to Ethiopia. And as I landed, the driver that carried me, the moment he knew I came from Nigeria, he started talking to me about Dangote. Not Nigeria, Ethiopia. The guy is not rich, he's a household name. That's rulership. And so that's what grace wants to do. He doesn't want to bring you to rest only. Grace wants to make you a ruler. So when people look at you and say, ah, you who is this timid, you without this connection, how come? You say, grace came. Somebody can make a mistake for you to enter. You don't know how it happened. But by all means, by the end of the day, you will be there. Did you not read the story of Vashti? This is a priest, a prince, a queen. 127 provinces. She was the prettiest of them all. She was so pretty that the king wanted to call her, to use her to showcase his excellency. But because there was a lady called Hadassah that must be enthroned, Vashti must make a mistake. Did you not read that he said, he will convert the wealth of the Gentiles? You don't just get rich. There is something called wealth transfer. What the wicked stored and labored to put for many years, when the time comes for kingdom to emancipate, he will cause an exodus of finances. Finances will move hands. They will change hands. Something will happen. You will enter into a contract and a simple negotiation. All of a sudden, things will just move because kingdom is in place. And in Esther chapter 2 verse 17, the Bible said, Esther found grace before the king, and the king made her queen in the stead of Vashti. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 8, it said, he's the one that lifted the beggar from the donkey and exalted the poor and gives him a place among princes so that he will inherit thrones. Your destiny is not a good life. Your destiny is rulership. And what will bring you to rulership is the outworking of grace. I speak to somebody here tonight. I know before now you are a beggar. I know before now you survive at the mercy of others. But in the name of Jesus the Lord, I bring you into the realm of rulership. Your story is about to change. All that was good for you was leftovers. But you are leaving this place today to own empires. You are leaving this place today to own system. Not by power, not by might, but by the Spirit of the living God. There is an anointing coming on someone now. Even as I speak, the power to get well. It said, thou shalt remember the Lord your God. It is him that giveth thee power to get wealth. I speak that into your destiny. I shift you forward by the Spirit. You may not look like it, but you don't have to look like it to be it. In the name of Jesus, the resurrected Christ, step into that dimension. Christians are living beggarly lives because we have not come to the realm of grace. We don't know how grace works. You are struggling too much.
You are having high blood pressure for what God can do just by. Oh my God. Oh my God. Somebody pray in the Holy Ghost for 1 minute. It said, my kingdom through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. It said, thou shalt remember the Lord your God. It is him that giveth thee power to get wealth. Not one of us is permitted to be beggarly. Not one of us is permitted to be weak. Not one of us is permitted to be poor. It said, when he led them through the wilderness, their clothes did not shred. Neither did their shoe weary. There is a power for always remaining sustained.
Hear me. You don't have to be 30 to be a millionaire. If you only have the burden for the kingdom, even at 21, you can be a millionaire. You don't have to be old to be wealthy. The kingdom needs men that have the power to create wealth, to move it forward. It's not only intercessors God is looking for. God is looking for men who by grace can command systems, can captain industries, can change things at their beck and call. And as I speak now, the power to get wealth, you may not look it, you may not have the connection, but by the Spirit of God, I bring you into the realm of dominion. Who told you holiness is beggarly looking? Who told you Christianity is a life of helplessness? We are too engraced to be helpless. Who told you we need to depend on people who are godless to do the things of the kingdom? Somebody is receiving a power, the power to get wealth. In the name of Jesus, right now, take that grace. Step into that grace. Step into that dimension. By the Spirit, I bring you an encounter with the El Shaddai. I bring you an encounter with the God that empowers. I break every chain of weakness. Every weakness in your body, I cause it to its root. Step forward. I bring you into dimensions of power. Hear me. I speak over businesses. I speak over investments. I speak over professions. Everything you lay your hand to do in righteousness, in the name of Jesus, right now, begin to prosper. Begin to prosper. Tavrashana. Please sit down. Most of you, hear me. You will be sleeping. Even while you are sleeping, angels will come and whisper to you what to do. There will be so much urgency in the spirit that even while you are sleeping, there will be whispers of wisdom. You will know what to do. And as you wake up, you will do things that will affect the world, not just your locality. Not less than 3 people
will rise up from this service, and in the next 6 months, they will be on the world map, affecting their generation positively.
Did you not read in scripture? It said Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He gave thanks and broke them. 5,000 men ate it, and they gathered 12 baskets.
There's too much in this kingdom for Christians to be beggarly.
Listen, there are angels of fire here. Listen. Some of my angels have entered this building. They are angels of fire, and they have come to establish ordinations. They bring government for power, for territorial government. In the name of Jesus, I release those angels. Everyone open now, begin to receive encounters on ground and online. On ground and online, I release encounters. I cause afflictions.
Rakapaya Sofratela Banaka. Jesus, hear me. Afflictions are about to roll away. It doesn't matter what you came here with. As I speak now, growths are leaving people's bodies. Pains in the spine, pains in the bones, pains in the knee. In the name of Jesus, I curse them. I command growths vanish. I command pains be gone. Ligament condition, muscle conditions, in the name of Jesus, be gone. I command terminal infirmities, diseases of the bone marrow, diseases of kidneys, diseases of lungs, diseases of liver, in the name of Jesus, be gone. Eyes begin to see, ears begin to hear. Back conditions, hear me, back conditions that have lasted for years, in the name of Jesus, right now, be gone.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Somebody has been healed
of a scrotal infection, something that has to do with your organ, somewhere around here. Somebody has just been healed. And I'm hearing somebody with a speech condition talking from that gallery. The Lord has touched you. You have just been healed. Lift your hands toward heaven and receive now. We are in a moment in the spirit. Thank you, Father. I cause afflictions. Anything you couldn't do, begin to do now. Help those under the power. Holy Spirit, now. Now, I release that grace. I release that grace. Afflictions, be gone. Thank you, Father. We hail you. We worship you. We hail you. Most high. We hail you. We hail you. Worship him, and that infirmity is gone. Forever, it's gone. We hail you. Most high. We hail you. We hail you. We hail you, we hail you.
We worship, you, God. We hail you,
Most High. We hail you, we hail you.
We worship you, God. We hail you,
we hail you, Most High. Please be sensitive. I'm seeing a lady towards my right hand. You have an issue, think discharge. An issue with your menstrual cycle. The Lord just healed you. You have lumps in your breast, you have pains, check it. In the name of Jesus, I curse those growths. I curse them. Growths in the breast. Growths in the throat, in the neck. I curse them right now. I command all of them, be gone. You have issues with mobility? Lift your leg. You discover your nerves are working perfect. We hail you. You hear noise. You hear noise in your ears. Deafening conditions. I command those ears to clear out. I command your eyes to see. Short-sightedness, long-sightedness, whatever the condition is, I command everyone under this atmosphere, on ground and online, be made whole in the name of Jesus. Oh, yeah. Somebody with a heart palpitation. It's a heart condition. The Lord just touched you. You have been healed. Towards my right here. I don't know. Is there somebody there? You have a heart. Something that has to do with your heart or something. Palpitation. Daddy, you are the one. Can you just check it? Breathe in, breathe out. You discover you are free. Lift your hands toward heaven. And receive your healing. Somebody, you have been looking for a job for the past 5 years. You just received your appointment letter. As you step out, this very week, you just stepped into your job. In the name of Jesus, take it. Thank you, Father. Ah. Hello. I will teach this subject again on Tuesday. I can't teach today. I want to speak over people's lives. I'm seeing angelic allocations. Men will step out of this service. Hear me. There will be divine angelic allocations. As you step out from tonight, you will never walk alone again. Angels are being mobilized to begin to serve.
Ushers, be sensitive. As I speak, the encounters will begin to take place. In the name of Jesus, I release that possibility. Step into that grace. Step into it. Step into that dimension. Angelic order of life. Angelic order. On ground, on the galleries, online. In the name of Jesus, step into that grace.
I'm seeing people receiving trumpets in the spirit. The rise of the prophets. The rise of the prophets. The rise of the prophets. Ushers, help them. Malekedako, Varadia, Varadia, Mantakabate, Elegavana, Taliata, Maro, 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 Balakando Seva. Bring them here. Prophets. Prophets. Maravona, Rakabanda Susa. We hail you, we hail you. Please hear this. Everyone God is touching now, bring them forward. These are witnesses. I'm not just talking. These are witnesses. I see trumpeters in the spirit. Men that will proclaim seasons and establish times over territory. In the name of Jesus, I release that grace upon you. Baragondra falakaza sabrahadali kazondro paragate shajana tadisk dededadia lakila pondre kavakadi gabaza davana ragadida zonzo. On site, online, watching from any part of the world, in the name of Jesus, I bring you this atmosphere. Step into this order. Mambrakado Savali Gapaya. We worship you. We hail you. Most High.
We hail you, Lord.
We hail you. We worship you. We hail you. Most High. We hail you. We hail you. Hear the Holy Ghost whisper to my heart. Some of you are about to step into the realm of inspiration. For many seasons now, many months, many years, the well of inspiration have dried up. You used to write programs, write songs, you write things just flow, but that river ceased. As we sing this song now, the river will flow again. It said there's a river that flows from the throne of God. It said the tributaries make it glad, the city of God. I release the grace for inspiration. Fresh inspiration. Fresh inspiration to distinguish you.
Hey, yeah, yeah.
Hey, yeah, yeah. Hey, yeah, yeah. Hey, yeah, yeah. Hey, yeah. Hey, yeah. Hey. In the name of Jesus. I don't know the challenge you brought in here, but this is the mountain of God. And upon Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance. There shall be holiness. And the sons of Jacob shall possess their possession. And so in the name of Jesus, I come to you in the order of Gideon. And I sound the alarm of Zion. And I call you forth from the pit wherein there is no water. Everywhere you are stagnated before now, in the name of Jesus, the risen Christ, come out. Come out. Come out.
come out. I end the season of drought over you. From today, walk in abundance. Walk in abundance. Walk in the glory realm. Walk in the glory realm. Go forward and prosper in the name of Jesus. Give him praise. Lift your hand and give him praise. Give him praise. You will never remain the same again. You step into your new season. I open a new season. I establish a new paradigm for you. Go forward and prosper.
You were blessed by the message you just listened to and wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior. Kindly repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you just say this prayer, please send us an email on amodiscipleship@gmail.com or reach us on our website orocomichael.com to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege to disciple you. God bless you.